Right now, it's time to welcome in Brian Ross in Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning at this time, and we have Real News all over the place. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning from Westminster Hall to Washington, D.C., right?
Before we get there, though, great picture of you in the paper auctioning off those cakes, and they made quite a bit of money, those cakes.
Some of them went for about $2,000. Yeah. The cakes were exquisite, unbelievable cakes. All great bakers, men and women, who 26 cakes in all. I think the couple of most expensive cakes included the pastry chef from Troutbeck. Emma Isakoff was the baker there, and her cake went for $2,000. And like a lot of serious bidding, I was surprised at how fast it went, but it's all for a good cause, the Sharing Historical Society. It's the principal fundraiser of the year.
All right. Well, let's move on to the various news stories. And seeing as it's going to happen in a little while, they're putting the podium out in front of Downing Street right now. It looks like, Boris Johnson is going to make a statement. It looks like he's going to resign, even though I did hear on one newscast this morning that Boris Johnson resigned. He hasn't. He's expected to make that announcement shortly.
That will be interesting. You know, the a series of controversies that plagued them, you know, kind of some simple stuff, the so-called Partygate, they kept calling it. You know, when he was having the whole country on lockdown, there were a bunch of parties at 10 Downing Street and elsewhere, and he wasn't forthcoming about it. That's, you know, half the problem usually for most people. They don't own up to it at the time, and then kind of slowly drips away, and it hurt him badly. And with two or three key ministers resigning, I think probably he had no choice here.
Yeah, and then he had other ones, and just lately he appointed a person with sexual abuse in his past, and once again lied, said he didn't know about it, and it was proven that he did. They didn't nickname him Bojo for nothing.
He was thought to be Teflon, but he's not, and yeah. So I think it's very similar to what we're seeing with the with Donald Trump. The Teflon seems to be wearing off his particular suit.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And speaking about Donald Trump, this is very interesting. I don't know how far it will go, both the former acting director, deputy director Andrew McCabe, and James Comey, the FBI director, are now raising questions as to why they were both selected for audits out of nowhere by the Internal Revenue Service during the final months of the Trump administration.
Sort of like hitting the lottery twice in a negative way. You know, the IRS says it's just a coincidence, but come on, it seems very, very strange. And the New York Times story lays out that the odds are infinitesimally small that both of those men would be chosen for what is like a full-on audit by the IRS. In one case, I think Comey got a refund, and McCabe had to pay a small amount. It wasn't any; there was no wrongdoing found. But the fact that they went through them, all their finances, and put them through the cost to incur to hire accountants to do all that—you have to wonder about the IRS and anything that happened under Donald Trump.
All right, that's there. And I don't know how many people are following, but now the story is coming out of Texas about what transpired before that shooting, where an officer actually who had a rifle saw him entering the school and radioed in for permission to fire and was not given that permission. Just another one of the amazing facts that are coming out about how terribly this was bungled before it even happened.
It really is stunning what happened there. And then, of course, over the 4th of July weekend, what happened in Highland Park, Illinois. You know, Marshall, that's my hometown. That's where I grew up, in Highland Park. I'd been at the 4th of July parades many times as a kid. And there, the question for law enforcement is, at one point, this alleged shooter, who's now pleaded guilty, but he seems to be the guy, was visited by the police after he threatened suicide and later pledged then to kill everyone. They went and confiscated his collection of knives. And then 3 months later, even after the Highland Park police had reported that to the Illinois State Police, the Illinois State Police gave this young man a permit to buy a gun, and his father signed off on it as well. So 3 months after having his weapons confiscated because he was considered a danger to himself and to others, he got a permit to buy a gun. And that's in Illinois. Illinois has strict laws, but somehow, you know, if the laws aren't enforced and if the police don't do their jobs, there's a real issue.
Yeah, and you know, and you look back, people knew about in Texas about his violent temperament on his social media pages. Yeah. You know, when I talk to people about gun control, I know you agree with this. Gun control is not just trying to take away guns. Gun control can open up a million different avenues where you can look for these people and look for tendencies before they strike. And this is what our government has to do. It's got to do a full-on look, not just talk about assault rifles, which is important, but a full-on look as to why these people don't even slip through cracks. There are no cracks to slip through. They just happen.
It's stunning to me, and it seems to me that, you know, the beginning point should be, let's keep dangerous guns out of the hands, at least, of people who are themselves dangerous or have the potential for being dangerous. I don't know if you saw the picture, Marshall, of this young man's, the painting he made on the wall of his mother's house with a man with a gun and all his drawings. This was a disturbed individual who had no business with buying a high-powered rifle and got off 70 rounds from his perch, you know, on the second floor of the roof of a building overlooking the parade route. He had no business having a gun. He was a danger to himself and to others, as we've now sadly seen.
And, you know, the horrible side about this, Brian, is because we're in an age where everybody has a camera. Everybody has a camera. Some of the video, one of a child taking a picture of the parade and the shots ringing out, and another one, people in a car with the shots ringing out, absolutely stunningly frightening. And these should be played over and over to the people in the Congress and in the Senate, because we need to attack this on so many different fronts.
And it struck me the comments by Illinois Senator Duckworth, who had served in Iraq, and she said when she saw that video of the shooting and heard the reports of the gunfire, that she hadn't heard that kind of sound since she had served in Iraq. And on a regular basis, weapons of war are being sold to people who have no business having any guns at all. Right there is the issue, it seems to me.
I want to move away from this for just a second. Finally, reading several stories, and it's been verified in a couple of different newspapers, and this is what I don't understand, and this is why Democrats are becoming frustrated. The White House were planning to nominate an abortion foe for a federal judge. Sometimes Joe Biden is trying to play the middle ground just too much.
I'll say, you know, and if you, as I am, a consumer of lots and lots of news, the cascade of stories critical of Joe Biden from his fellow Democrats, a stunning number of people, many of them speaking now on the record to criticize the banner carrier for the Democratic Party, that he has, it's bad management, he's been slow to respond, he's lacked energy and determination. He's apparently been shouting at aides, and the aides have been shouting at their subordinates. Wasn't he at one point saying he'd fire anybody who mistreated employees? That hasn't happened. Lots of questions being raised by Democrats about Joe Biden, and it's not a pretty picture for him. And in one case, CNN said it's more not so much about ideology, but just pure bad management at the White House.
It's very interesting to sit here months away from the midterms, but you look at the 2024 race for president, and the two key players might not even be nominated by their parties.
Well, two men, both. Joe Biden will be 80 years old this November, and Trump's in his mid-70s. I think voters want a younger group of people there, and already we're hearing talk on the Democratic side about both the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, who did express huge anger and told people they had a right to be angry, and California Governor Newsom, who's been running ads in Florida attacking Governor DeSantis.
It's times we live in, just amazing stories. And it gets, you know, the world is such a small place now with social media. It's amazing, and it keeps you busy, Brian, I would imagine.
It keeps me very busy, but I am impressed by the fact that both the Democratic and Republican side in this country, two old men have sort of frozen the slate, but there are clearly candidates lining up, ready to go for 2024. So I think it's always fascinating, but the next 2 years will be especially fascinating.
Brian, always great to speak with you. I'll check with you next week.
Thanks so much, Miles. Good to be here with you.
All right. Now, Brian Ross and Real News. Of course, you can find Brian on our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.